Welcome to Second Helpings. This is our third episode of Second Helpings, and I'm here with Joshua and Megan Burley. Now, in our catalog of podcasts at West London Alliance Church, we have Main Course, and really, as you all will know, that is our Sunday morning sermon. We also have Refried Sunday, where we consider, reflect on what happened on a previous Sunday and look ahead with intentionality to the next Sunday. And then we have Second Helpings. Second Helpings is a podcast to convey a little bit more information to the congregants of Westland Alliance Church. And that's what we want to do today. We want to hear from the Burleys, hear a little bit more about them, and convey that information to our congregation. And so that's what we're doing here today. So thank you for being with me.
For sure.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome. Joshua, I want to start with you and just get some background information on you. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to faith in Jesus? Give us a little bit of your history.
Sure, yeah. So I grew up in a Christian home. I grew up in a pastor's home in particular as well. My dad is still a pastor today in Smiths Falls where we grew up. And so my story is one of those stories where I can't even remember the day that I got saved. You know, where I prayed a prayer. I've always known Christ and believed in Him as far as I can remember. Now, when I was three, I think I might have prayed some sort of prayer, but to the level that a 3 year old can pray. But I guess a big part of my story would be God's faithfulness in my life and never really wavering from that initial moment at a young age, kind of trusting Him and following Him as He has moved through my life. So
yeah,
and I'm grateful for that.
Absolutely. I think that's the most exciting testimony there is,
right?
Often we think about these testimonies where someone was saved from a life of sin, and praise God, that's a wonderful thing. To me, the best testimony is, as long as I can remember, I've always known Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a glorious thing. So that's great. Megan, what about you? Talk to us about how you came to faith in Jesus.
I think I have kind of a very similar story. I was very blessed to grow up in a Christian home with two parents who love Jesus and serve him faithfully. I would say, I do remember like around 5 years old, actually on Father's Day, sitting in my room, talking to my mom about what it means to be a follower of Jesus and just making that commitment then, again, as well as a 5 year old can.
Sure.
And just since then, I've had my ups and downs like any other person, but God's been faithful and, I've just been so blessed to have some really strong Christians in my life to mentor me and guide me on my Christian walk.
Awesome. Now, your upbringing, we consider you an insider. You're from Southern Ontario.
Yeah.
Joshua, as he told the congregation, we consider him an outsider. He's from up north.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so you grew up in the area in a Christian home. You grew up with Smith Falls,
mm-hmm.
In a Christian home, and so basically have been Christians as long as you can remember.
Yep.
And so that's a wonderful thing. What led you, Joshua, to pursue ministry?
For me, I felt a call to ministry, or what I would consider to be a call to ministry, when I was pretty young.
Okay.
Like I said, I was growing up in a Christian home, and so I was constantly in that context of praying and seeking the things of God. But when I was 13, I was at a camp in the summer, and I had what I would consider to be a profound moment with God during one of the services. And it's a little bit hard to explain, but from that point forward, all I knew is that this is what I was supposed to do with the rest of my life, as a kid at 13. And one of the reasons why I felt like it was true at the time was when all my friends still wanted to be in the NHL or whatever.
Right.
I wanted to be in ministry. And from that point forward, from 13 to 14, that became my focus. I when I was in high school, I only applied to a Bible college. I didn't even consider other schools. Okay. And that became my main focus.
Okay. Yeah. Now I'm going a bit off script here, but as you were growing up, did you ever foresee yourself marrying a pastor?
No.
That wasn't in your, list of things I need to see.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't have like a to-do list that said, go to school, get good grades, marry a pastor later in life.
I think very few ladies might have that, you know, on their checklist, but mm-hmm. You're married to him. So you've mentioned a specific sort of moment where you think, or from that point on, you saw yourself becoming a pastor. Mm-hmm. And as you just told us, you pursued that in a pretty straight line. Mm-hmm. Didn't apply anywhere else. This is what you were going to do. Is there an individual who had a profound influence on, that decision? Not necessarily making the decision, but, in the process of becoming a pastor.
Sure. Yeah. I think of all the people in my life who made an impact at that time, the person that comes to mind the most for me would be my dad.
Yeah,
awesome. It was so great to have a dad in my life who was already in ministry. He knew what it was like to kind of go through the process, to consider the call, to go to Bible college and to begin in ministry. And when I was first called into ministry, I had other pastors in my life, but obviously he would have been the closest one to me. And so he has and still does help me in many different ways within that part of my life. He's the reason why I own like half the books that I own. And I went to the school that he went to, and he kind of helped me to anticipate what it would have been like to go to Bible college. And also, even in the ministry context, gave me lots of opportunities to preach and minister in a way that maybe I acknowledge like other students of my other peers maybe didn't get that opportunity. Mm. So I'm very thankful for my dad and his guidance and influence in that part of my life for sure.
Yeah, we're thankful for him too. I think there's probably a lot of young men who had fathers as pastors and decided not to become a pastor
right.
because of who their father was.
Sure.
There'd be enough of those out mm-hmm. there. And yet your dad conducted himself as a father in such a way that, you decided you would pursue that. So we're thankful as well. That's
right.
That's wonderful. Now, Megan, we heard a bit from Joshua when he introduced himself to the congregation and he talked about some of the things he loved to do, his hobbies he liked to do. Tell us a bit about yourself in regards to those things.
So like as you mentioned earlier, I'm from southwestern Ontario. I was born and raised in Woodstock. I'm the oldest of three, so I have a younger brother and a younger sister.
Okay.
And I love them dearly, even though they can get a little bit annoying sometimes for sure. But, I really enjoy things like reading, going on walks, baking, especially sourdough. I like baking bread. So,
how long have you been? You've got a sourdough. How long have you been using that same? What do they call it?
The starter. Yeah. I think I made it like when we initially got married. So it's probably been about a year and a half.
Okay.
Now.
Yeah. And so there's people out there who've had them for 30 and 40 years
are
still making them.
Yeah.
My daughter Arwen makes sourdough, and mm-hmm. we're very thankful for that skill.
And
as
I'm,
well.
I'm very thankful that she likes to bake sourdough well.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Any other hobbies or things you like to do?
I'm trying to get into gardening right now.
Okay.
So I don't know a lot about it, but we just got a little raised garden bed to have outside of our basement apartment. So
okay.
I'm going to try taking that up this summer and we'll see how it goes.
Are you interested in flowering plants or are you interested in food?
Food,
okay.
Fruits and veggies, yeah.
Okay, that's awesome. Well, mm-hmm. very good. I hope that goes well. My daughter as well has gotten into gardening, and we have quite a bit of flowers and those types of things, but a lot of veggies in that as well. So wow, that's great. Joshua, what is it that excites you about being a youth pastor, about working with youth? What is it that really gets you going about that?
Sure. I think that what excites me the most is having the opportunity to minister and disciple a group of people, despite their age, who have their own type of capacity to be legitimate followers of Jesus Christ. Like I believe very strongly when Paul talks in one of his letters to Timothy about how youth do have the capacity to set an example even among believers. And I see it as a responsibility of mine, but also the church, parents, to come alongside students and encourage, empower, and help them to understand in the crazy world they're living in right now how to actually do that in a very real way that benefits them now, but also certainly benefits them as they grow up and become adults. And so the discipleship component of this specific age group is something that I'm excited about, that I'm fascinated in, and really want to see as a strong point to the ministry that we do here at West London.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, Megan, we've sort of conveyed this information to you before. We hired Joshua. We didn't hire you. You know, you are really under no obligation of employment or responsibility to the church other than, you know, that of a congregant or member of West London Alliance Church. And yet we know, you know, pastors' wives have a certain role in the life of their husband that, you know, might be a little bit different than, you know, some other wives. How do you see that? What do you see as your role in regards to being Joshua's wife and, you know, how that gets sort of intermingled with the church?
Yeah, I see my role alongside Joshua primarily as his support system. I believe that his role comes with a lot of responsibility, and I just want to make sure he feels encouraged and cared for outside of the church, so that he can serve well within the church.
Yeah.
Although I'm not like directly involved with youth, I do believe that being there for Joshua in the everyday things is one of the most important ways I can contribute to what God is going to do through him for the youth and at West London Alliance.
So, yeah. Well, yeah. That's we're looking forward to having you, and I have shared this with you before, but my experience has been such that our church and our congregation relate to spouses of employees very well. And they do that with care and with compassion and with a good sense of where boundaries are. And so our expectation is that that will continue with you. And we look forward to having you as part of our church for your sake, not just because you're married to him, although we think that's a great thing as well. You know, Joshua, what about the youth ministry? Do you have sort of the next few years in view as you're, you know, you've come, you're getting acclimatized to West London, you've worked previously as a youth pastor. What do you see as maybe a big goal for the next couple years for the youth ministry here at West London?
Sure. Yeah. I think first of all, it's fair to say that, you know, there's lots of things that I'm still trying to figure out and understand as far as how we already do things here and how that may continue to look. But, you know, when I look ahead, I already mentioned that discipleship will be a big focus of mine, so that certainly will be a part of it. But I think that what I would love to see take place is the students themselves, in relationship even with their parents and the church, pursuing faithful Christian lives here, but outside of that life. And so that looks like discipleship, but I think that also looks like evangelism, reaching out to their friends in their schools, so that, yes, maybe the group grows, but not for the sake of numbers alone, but what those numbers represent, more and more people coming in contact with Jesus and the gospel of Jesus. So discipleship and reaching out to others, but then the church coming around these students to support them in this interesting time in their lives so that they can become as formed as possible, graduating, entering into post-secondary, genuine adulthood, and becoming these great men and women of God.
Yeah. Congregation, you know, in my discussions with Joshua, you should know that he is strongly tethered to the Great Commission. When he talks about ministry, that always comes up, and that's a great thing. We're happy about that and excited about that. Megan, when you can get him away from the church and you guys can spend time together, what do you like to do?
I feel like we like to do a lot of things together. We really like to do just activities with one another, just quality time, actually doing something. One of the things that we really enjoy doing is actually play board games together. It's just a fun way to relax and recharge and just be together. And we've also last year took up pickleball, and so where we live actually has some pickleball courts close to us, so we're hoping to get back into the swing of that this summer.
Oh, I mean, both of those things, pickleball and board games, we've got clusters of people in this church who are very much about those things. So that's interesting. Do you guys ever get into fights when you play board games?
I plead the fifth.
maybe more in the pickleball.
Okay.
Out on the court.
So you're both competitive.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'm good with that. Yeah. Like, if we're gonna play a board game, if we're gonna play a sport, you play to win.
Right. We take it very seriously.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm good with that. Well, that's good to know. I appreciate that. You know, as we talk about ministry and the broader church, what role do you see parents having in supporting the youth ministry?
Yeah. So I actually genuinely believe that parents, as far as the Bible is concerned, parents are actually the first disciplers. They are the primary disciplers of these teenagers. That becomes an inherent call or duty or role of parents. And so, honestly, one of the things that I would love to do as a part of my job, though I'm not a parent myself, and I acknowledge that, to in any way that I can give support and encouragement, empowerment to the parents themselves, because I want to see that relationship blossom. The parents and the students, and I know parents sometimes, you know, when you got teenagers, that doesn't always feel like it's, you know, going the best, right? But I want to help them and then supplement that relationship with anything that we do here at the church. So I actually think it's very important. It is primary. Mm-hmm. And so I think that actually is a part of my job, to encourage that and then to help and support and supplement at the same time.
Yeah. So if a kid worked their way through your youth ministry, and at the end of that, they were asked the question, you know, who discipled you? You would love to hear them say, my parents and my youth pastor.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, genuinely.
That would be amazing and a wonderful thing.
Yep.
Megan, you guys have been here really a couple weeks. You've missed some time here as well. Just give me some of your thoughts about our church community, just things you've noticed, and then maybe along with that, ways in which they could be a support to you and Joshua.
One thing that's really blown us away in particular has just been the kindness and willingness to like help us with anything. Especially like as we've been settling in, we kind of had to do two little moves because we were looking for a spot when we first came down here. People were just willing to drop everything and come help us move heavy furniture and volunteer their time and their vehicles and everything, and it just blew us away, just how welcomed we felt with that. And then like one thing that our church community can be doing is just continuing to pray for us as we get settled in, and just patience as we kind of figure out our way around West London Alliance and just kind of get our bearings here. We've really appreciated everything so far, though. So
wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, it's makes me happy to hear that. Mm-hmm. You know, congregation, so you are aware, our plan for Joshua coming here is that it would be a metered sort of involvement with the ministry until, as we look to September, where it will be, you know, fully Joshua in. And so I think the patience is a good thing. You know, maybe if you're not seeing something you'd like to see or whatever, give it time. You know, as summer comes, as some of the youth ministry just busy work goes down, that would be an opportune time to connect with Joshua, I think, and, you know, talk to him about things. But we're really happy here with the way things are going and very much looking forward to the summer and the fall. In regards to ministry, Joshua, there are, I don't know if young people have more tough questions than they used to have.
Right.
But they have some questions that I don't think pastors have had to deal with in hundreds and hundreds of years.
Right, sure.
And so there's some tough questions out there and some tough issues. In regards to those things, how do you address those? How do you handle them? What's been your experience with those things so far?
Yeah, well, what I would say is that people who know me well, like in the ministry context, would know that I love questions. I don't see them as scary things at all or intimidating things. I think it's a very healthy thing, actually, that our students are engaging with the world around them, God's word, and good critical thinking enough to even come up with good questions. And so if a student was to come to me to ask something that was deep and thoughtful, like, first of all, that's just a good thing. Mm-hmm. But then on top of that, you know, I'm somebody who's not opposed to saying I don't know. So if it's a really tough question, I will tell you that I don't know, because I don't know everything. but I would commit to finding out if I can for that student. But to the questions that I do know, I love engaging in those conversations with students to share my thoughts, but then ask them more questions of like, well, why do you think that? Or where is this coming from? And to build a better discussion. Another thing I would say too is something that's important to me is understanding where a question's coming from. If a question is coming from a place of emotions or hormones or a bad situation in your life, it may not actually be wise in that moment to give the very cerebral answer, because that's not actually what they're looking for.
Right.
Though that's what they're saying, that may not actually be what they're looking for. And so in that moment, I think I would try to encourage these students and pastor them through maybe these tough things in their head or in their lives. And then when we get to a more stable place, to be able to then deal with the very important question that they probably still ask.
Yeah, that's great. And really, that's not much different from whatever age.
Yeah, no, that's,
right? You know, in terms of how you want to deal with it and approach that. And so very good. We're excited about you being a guy that our young people can go to with, you know, questions of faith and salvation, but also broader questions that relate to our culture and the rest of it. again, let me go off script for a bit here. Joshua, I want you to tell me how you and Megan met.
Okay.
And then I want Megan to correct or fill in what you left out.
Right.
So tell us how you met.
Sure. Yeah. So Megan and I met on a Christian dating app on our phones. And
Let me interrupt there.
Yeah.
That is the most common way that couples I have married in the last 4 years have met.
Right.
That has now taken over as the most common way to meet. So continue.
Yeah, well, we're very grateful for it. It was an app called Upward, if people are interested. if you want help with a bio, we can maybe help you out.
You're not sponsored by them.
No, we're not. This is not a sponsor. But I was living in the Sudbury area. She was in Woodstock, so we were like 5 hours away. So that would have been the only way to meet somebody 5 hours away, probably.
Yeah.
And we found each other on the app, and we started, you know, we both liked each other on the app, and then we started messaging one another. And after a month of just like texting and FaceTiming, we actually met in Orillia. Orillia and Barrie, while we were dating, became our halfway point.
Okay.
If we just wanted to meet for a day.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think maybe a month later, we met a second time in Sudbury. She drove all the way up to Sudbury.
Okay.
And I asked her to be my girlfriend, and she said yes, and I'm very happy and thankful for that. And then that's kind of how it started.
All right. And did he get that mostly right?
Yeah, I think so. He tells the story pretty well. So.
All right. Yeah. Very good. Yeah. And then how long after you met on the Christian dating app till you were married?
I never remember this.
We started messaging in April of 2022.
Yes.
Okay.
And then December of 2022, we got engaged.
Okay.
And then we were married as of September 2023.
Okay. So I guess, is that 2 years? 3 years.
No.
Less than that.
That's that.
Since from April 2022.
People were passed. There's not mathematicians.
What month are we in right now? yeah. About three years?
No.
Total.
No.
Oh, okay.
Couple years.
Yeah.
Yeah. They heard the dates. They could figure it out at home.
You do the math. You do the math.
We at least none of us pulled a calculator or a calendar out. What was your family's initial, sort of response to you, seeing a pastor and eventually getting married to a pastor?
I think a little bit apprehensive.
Sure.
Like it's just some random guy online.
right.
5 hours away.
5 hours away.
From up north of all places.
Exactly.
Look at his beard.
Yeah. But I mean, I think they saw how much he loved God and just really appreciated that. And then, I think being close by now is really nice because we can kind of connect even more. It was really hard to do that when we were 5 hours away.
Right.
But yeah.
He won them over though.
Oh yeah.
Definitely. Oh, okay. Yeah. So you're now in the area, I don't know if they would even have known of our church, before we started these discussions with Joshua, but they certainly must have been excited at the prospects of you being nearby.
Oh yeah, definitely.
For sure.
And we've been able to connect a lot too since being so close, like since we moved, which is awesome.
Oh, that's great. Joshua, I asked Megan this question. I'll ask it to you too in regards to, just the church, ways in which the church, thinking mainly of the congregation, can support you as you, walk into this new season of ministry with us.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I think certainly they can be praying for us as we continue to begin here for the ministry itself, and especially for the summertime, as a lot of planning will be taking place for the fall. My first time to kind of put some genuine prayer and thought into the future of the ministry. And I think I think as well, just to introduce yourself, I don't bite, despite the beard. I don't think I'm a scary guy, but we want to be able to connect with people, and we know that this is a large group of people. We're not used to a church to this size, but we do know the value of fellowship and being the church with one another. And so I truly want to be able to just live life with God's people.
Yeah.
And so introduce yourself. We'd love to connect and meet, but then the prayers as well for the ministry, we certainly would appreciate.
Well, if your experience is anything like mine, there will be people praying for you regularly.
Yeah, for sure.
And congregation, you have done that for our staff, and so do that for Joshua and Megan, and introduce yourself. It is a big congregation, and you've heard it from them. Come up and say hi, introduce yourself. Don't wait for them to meet you. They'd love to meet with you and connect with you. Have you guys landed on a favorite restaurant in the area yet? Or what's been your best meal out?
I feel like we've had a few good meals.
Yeah, you can have more than one.
Well,
tell us what you liked.
I like sushi. And so I've actually been to the place near the church. I think it's 168.
168.
Well, yeah. I've been there a couple times now already. Megan's been there with me once as well, and she liked it. But you took us to that Paramount Indian place nearby as well. That's good too.
That was solid.
It was good.
We love Indian food, Asian food, Italian. There was a lot of Italian restaurants in Sudbury where we were. We're big food fans.
Okay.
And so that's probably one of the things that we were most excited about in being in a place like London in particular.
Right.
Is we're almost overwhelmed by the amount of restaurants that we now get to spend our money and and go to try out. But are there any others?
No, I think you kind of.
Yeah, those are the good. Yeah,
yeah, and there's lots, and the ethnic food scene at bigger cities is much more diverse and broad, and I enjoy those things too. So definitely something I enjoy. That's all I have for you guys in this podcast. It's been wonderful for me and for, I'm sure it will be for our congregation to get to know you guys better. And just know that the congregation has communicated to me thoroughly that they are excited and looking forward to this time having you with us, having you as a youth pastor, but Megan, having you as a sister here at the church and being part of our church family. So yeah, we're excited about that and we're thankful to God. And I thought if you guys are all right, we'll just end and I'll pray for you guys.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you. In your wise and good providence, you have seen fit to bring Megan and Joshua to our church, and we are grateful for that. Father God, we are foundationally grateful for a brother and sister in the Lord to fellowship with, to go to church together with, to walk faithfully with, and so thank you for that. We want to pray for Joshua and Megan that you would bless their every endeavor here in London and at West London Alliance Church. We understand, Father God, that your blessing doesn't always seem easy. Sometimes it's hard, but you're working the hard things for our good. And so we just pray that you would, everything that their hand touches, you would bless it and that you'd pour your grace. We know your grace is sufficient because your word says it is. And so give them an abundant grace for all that they face. And we do pray for Joshua's ministry here, leading the youth. Father God, that you would give him great wisdom. Father God, perseverance. And Father God, an ongoing motivation and desire for the glory of God and for the spread of the gospel. And I pray that your great commission, as we have already seen, would continue to be for Joshua just a foundational truth, a foundational commandment that fills him with motivation to do the work that you have called him to here. Father, I pray that their time here at our church would be every bit as wonderful as my time has been. And that, Father God, they would see your goodness in placing them here. And so, Father God, we look to you to work in them and to work through them. Again, for your glory and for the spread of the gospel. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, that's it for the third episode of Second Helpings. Thank you for being with us today.